Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old white old, sitting on the street, telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, I've had so many problems in my life that I just couldn't deal with. So I started drinking, thought it would help ease my pain. But things got worse, so I said, Lord, I give up. I'm in your hands. And that's when my life began to change. But these people think I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. And he said, on the streets day and night, that's my life, that's my home. Ain't got nowhere else I can go. So I just walk the streets telling the people about Jesus. From corner to corner, from door to door. But they all make fun of me and say, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Oh, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Tell you he can save. The Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 and again, hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David. I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. You know, every time I hear that song, it continues to humble me. It continues to show me that no matter what, you cannot stop letting the world know about Jesus. Despite the way the world may look at you, consider you, it is so important that we go forward anyway. We got to be like Stephen. If we be even stoned, we go forward and give God glory, honor, and praise. We let the world know the importance of the love of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now for this golden opportunity, to Father God to become your vessel, to become the servant when they was asked, who shall I send? They said, send me. I am honored to be able to do that today. To be one, Father God, you would use through the Holy Spirit to be able to share this knowledge and wisdom that you imparted upon me through the Holy Spirit. Father God, I'm humbled by your using me. But to use a little shepherd boy, Father God, to make him king. You prepared him. You developed him. And you got him ready for his role, that he would be the man, not just the man after your own heart, but he would be one of the better kings because he loved you, he praised you, and he worshiped you. Today, Father God, I'm praying that we, as your people, do that. We, Father God, humble ourselves and seek your word, Father God, because when we do, we can hear from you. Father, as I go forward today, for those under the sound of my voice, I pray for every key aspect of their lives. Father, you're the one that know the details of their lives. Spiritually, Father God, I'm praying for the spiritual maturity, Father God, that would help them to move in you like they never done before. I'm praying for the psychological soundness that you promised when you gave us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who would endow us with power and love and a sound mind. I'm praying, Father God, the blessing upon them. And praying, Father God, for the emotional stability that we need when we guard our heart so we don't get tossed to and fro. I'm praying for physical well-being, good health, that every atom, molecule, cell, tissue, organ, and system would operate in the condition, the healthy divine condition you intended. And because we know your word doesn't return void, it will accomplish. That's what has been said. And I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that each and every person in the sound of my voice, more than anything, will love you, God, with all their mind, heart, and soul, and love their neighbor as themselves. Because the greatest of all the words that is this is love, because you are love. Father God, I thank you right now. Use me, Father God, to send a message. Father God, I pray, Father God, for this country, this world, Father God, because there are so many things going on that we even don't even have the details to know what it all is, but you do. And I pray, Father God, every human being that exists on this planet, the elderly, the mature adult, the middle-aged adult, the young adult, the teenager, the adolescent, the toddler, the newborn, and the unborn, will be like John the Baptist when he was in Elizabeth's womb. He jumped in celebration of you. I'm praying that for everyone today. Father God, thank you for allowing us to have your written word so we can know about you. For we know about you, we'll draw closer to you. And as we draw closer to you, you'll draw closer to us. Thank you for loving us despite us. But we know this, you loved us so much that you would send your only begotten Son, because we do have value with you. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you, for this is the day you have made. And yes, we're going to celebrate in it, because you loved us first. Thank you, God. Amen, amen, amen. Well, you know, I'm happy to be able to come again and share God's word with you as the Holy Spirit has put in my heart and share this message that I think is so vital today. It's been kind of flowing in my heart for a while, and I'm going to step out in faith and allow the Holy Spirit to move so that I may be able to share it. Well, the quote for the day is, "And one day she discovered that she was fierce and strong, full of fire, and that not even she could hold herself back because her passion burned brighter than her fear." Mark Anthony. Is that something? Her passion burned brighter than her fears. She didn't allow fear to govern her life. Hallelujah. And then the next one says, "The world needs a strong woman. Women who will lift and build others, who will love and be loved. Women who live bravely, both tender and fierce. Women of indomitable will." Amy Tennessee. "Each time a woman stands up for herself, she stands up for all women." Maya Angelou. "A woman is a full circle. Within her is the power to create, to nurture, to transform." Diane Murray Child. "We need women at all levels, including the top, to change the dynamics, reshape the conversation, to make sure women's voices are heard and heed, not overlooked and ignored." Sheryl Sandberg. But the scripture tells us this, in 1 Timothy 3:11, "In the same way, the women are to be worthy of respect, not meticulous talkers, malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. And 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, your beauty should not come from our adornment, such as elaborate hairstyle and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, an unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. You see, Psalm says in 46:5, God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. Hallelujah. And then Proverbs 14:1 says, the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one can tear it down. I like to share a moment about a woman that I've always had a fascination with and always had a great love for her tenacity, her will, her desire to serve God and her fellow man. Her name was Harriet Tubman. She was an escaped slave woman who became a conductor on the Underground Railroad, leading enslaved people to freedom before the Civil War, all while carrying the bounty on her head. But she was also a nurse, a union spy, a woman of suffrage support. She lived a remarkable full life. See, that's something that I think we all should consider. Are we living a remarkable full life, the abundant life? And even during this period when she was in slavery, she still took herself to another level. She lived to be the right age of 91, dying at a charity home, which she founded in New York. She was buried with full military honor. They codenamed her Moses. They say she was illiterate, uneducated, that she didn't go to school, she didn't have the fine resources, yet she went forward. They said she suffered from narcolepsy. She felt her work as Moses was a serious business, and she never lost a slave. She also was a Union scout during the Civil War. Now, I, again, have served my country, and I believe I served it well. But to see a woman who would be a scout, and that's a significant role in the military, and be rewarded for it, is such a magnificent feat. They say she cured dysentery. And then there's the acknowledgement of a local flora. She said she had not, they acknowledged that she had looked through local florals in Maryland and led her to find different cures for Union troops suffering from and relieved the symptoms of chicken pox and yellow fever. She was the first woman to lead the combat assault. And even though she had brain surgery to help fix her sleeping problem, she refused anesthesia. You see, Harriet Tubman was considered an illiterate woman in her entire life. They deemed that she was uneducated, but maybe this was by social standards. They say she was ignorant, but maybe in the era she wasn't exposed to. But by all practical purposes, she was totally beyond ignorance because she took the will that God gave her to move her forward in order to accomplish great things. They say she was unschooled, but this was prevented by her early and earthly masters. But spiritually, she was schooled nonetheless. They say she was untrained only based on a worldview, but truly trained by the Holy Spirit to fulfill her God-given purpose. No matter what the challenges she faced, she always put God first. He provided all that she needed and met every expectation for the plan that he had for her life. You see, ladies, you were destined for greatness. Only you can prevent the great things God has in store for you to happen. You get in your own way. The scripture tells us in Romans 8:35-39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For as it is written, for your sake we face death all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Period of Harriet Tubman's time, they were like sheep to be slaughtered. However, none of these things which could ever cause her to quit. You see, the scripture says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. She understood the importance of God's love in her life. Despite her environment, despite her conditions, despite the unfairness, the racism, and all the negativity, she did not allow that. For you see, it tells us in the scripture, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demon, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. With the love of God inside of our senses, nothing can separate you from the love of God who empowers you with power, love, and a sound mind. This moves us right into the basic title of my message today, The Woman of Noble Character. You see, let me lay down the groundwork of this profound topic about being a woman of noble character. This statement is truly an amazing concept to entertain, but one that is very challenging to fulfill. Not because women are not equipped, but that their gifts, talents, and innate God-given qualities will be tested every step of the way. As I mentioned in another conversation about men, I believe that this, since we haven't really provided a universal foundation for many of our women to consistently build upon that is based on God's principles, which would lead to a stronger moral compass for women and men to live by. It would only stand to reason what we see today as our moral fibers of many of our women and men are either being threatened, allowed to be threatened, or forced into a threatening situation that is totally opposite of what Jesus commands for us to do, which is to love our neighbors as ourselves. See, I believe it stems from the scripture that is noted in Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget my children. You see, knowledge is important, and I've heard say knowledge is power. I say, this is just according to me, that knowledge is potential power. Only when it is used that the power can be executed. A stick of dynamite has power, but if it sits on the table and never get lit, it just has the potential. And this is what we have to look at. God gives all of us gifts and talents and ability, which we can deem as potential power. But if it's never lit, or it's lit and held on to, and is not appropriately dispensed, it could blow up in your face. So it's so important that we understand why we need to seek God's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding for the knowledge that he gives us. Because this prepares us to be the best we can be. And I see, as I look at society today, you know, everybody say, well, you know, that our generation was better, this and that, and that we were this, and we accomplished these things, and we were better in these other areas of life. However, every generation comes with its own flaws. And as I've noted through the years, it seems to have increased because the moral fiber that once existed is continually being diluted. It's continually being to the point where it's like cellophane. It has no real strength. Therefore, I'm going to provide some foundational scriptures that I want you to entertain as the series moves forward, because they will be significant as I progress through some of the various topics as it relates to women. The first scripture tells us in Luke 10:27, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes it's very difficult for people to do, because if they don't love themselves, how can they love their neighbor, and how can they love something they haven't seen? Again, this is why it's so important for us to grow and develop. See, Paul said why love is the foundation of Scripture, because he tells us that if we speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gifts of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. So it's so significant as we looked at 1 Corinthians 13. It is so important that we recognize this 1 through 3. Now, we need to look at what love is, what love is not, and what love always do. And why am I laying these foundations? Because once you build anything upon the foundation of love, everything else can be strengthened. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 says, what love is, it is patient, it is kind. And I often like to look at this because the first word is patient. You cannot, not only do you should be patient with others, but you got to be patient with yourself, because this is a developmental process. Love is a developmental process, building on brick by brick, if you will. Then what love does not? It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. That word proud or pride is so significant. So we see this today. And we know that the scripture tells us pride before the fall. It said it does not dishonor others. See, pride gets in the way and causes us to dishonor, to exercise behaviors like name-calling or putting your hands on someone or hurting someone intentionally. My boys, about being respectful, because you want to show honor to others. You want to show respect to others. And see, love is not self-seeking. Sometimes when I read that, I go, well, we do seek something, but not in a selfish way, as I talked in some of my other series about the variations of self. There's self-sufficiency, self-seeking, selfishness, and self-preservation. We should always strive to preserve what God has made, but not be so caught up that it becomes me, myself, and I. It is not easily angered. See, pride gets into anger as well. I like to say everything is a subsidiary of pride. And it tells us in the scripture that we should be slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to listen. You see, it keeps no record of wrong. One of the main things I see a lot of times, and especially because women deal with quite a few disappointments. I don't say men don't, but the way things have been presented through society and this conditioning, we kind of have set it up where women find themselves being a little more on the emotional side. I have some things I would elaborate on, but it would take too much time. But a little more on the emotional side, at least by display. So they would end up getting hurt. And as they get hurt, sometimes they hold on to that pain. But that pain is like poison in your system. If you keep holding on to it, eat away at you, it will eat away at you, and the person who done you wrong will go on, and you would be the one in the unnecessary pain. This is why forgiveness is so significant. It said love does not delight in evil. Evil behavior is done for the sake of pride, and self-seeking behavior has no real benefit. It only has a destructive outcome, because what love is about is rejoicing in the truth. And we know who we should be rejoicing in. For Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, the way, and the life. The life that he gave comes with abundance. What love always does. You see, love always protects. It always trusts. It always creates hope. And it always preserves. See, again, that self-preserving, that means you're maintaining. See, when we preserve like I do, what is the end result? Love that never fails. Now, love that never fails don't necessarily mean that the individual you love or the people you love or whatever you love in general will not let you down, because anything that is made in this earthly fashion will have moments, as somebody used to say to me, will have moments that will let you down or has an expiration date which could let you down. But God's love never fails. This is why it's so significant for us, and especially women, to recognize the love that you should seek first is God's love. Hallelujah. Then we need to consider as we progress in love and life, we are to, when we are moving from a childhood attitude to an adulthood, we should begin to recognize those significant changes in how we conduct ourselves, how we think, how we construct thoughts throughout the day. Therefore, ladies, one should be able to see some of the developmental changes that occur as you move through your confidence in Jesus Christ. As I was praying the other day, and the Holy Spirit showed me that as we have confidence, as we build our confidence, it will strengthen our ability to believe, strengthen our emotional connection, to have trust, and it will continue to build our faith. Ladies, you have to be willing to have confidence in God. It tells us, throw not away your confidence, because it has great recompense of reward when you trust God. And 1 Corinthians 13:13 tells us that when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, universally speaking, I put away childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then shall I know fully, even as I am fully known. As we move forward and get away from the childish ways, I like to call the childish ways now, the conditioning of man. Man puts us in a position where it causes us to think about me, myself, and I, self-seeking behavior. When God begins to move in us and he allows the Holy Spirit to govern us, to correct us, redirect us, counsel us, comfort us, and minister to us, then we can now be a reciprocal or a container or a vessel that moves away from those childish ways to the adult ways, or better said, at spiritual maturity. But last but not least, we need to acknowledge that no matter how great our faith is and how inspired our hopeful aspirations are, love is still above it all. You see, 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. Now I want to address a conversation from a mother and her king. Lemuel's mother was sharing some of the perspectives about her son should consider when dealing with women. Now, consider that Lemuel is a Hebrew name meaning devoted to God. Lemuel. In Proverbs 31:1-9, it says that they said to King Lemuel, an inspired utterance his mother taught him, listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Listen, my son, and answer to my prayers. Do not spend your strength on women, your vigor on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, for it is not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest I drink and forget what have been decreed, and deprive all of the oppression of their right. Let beer be for those who are perishing, wine for those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the right of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. Now, as we progress along, as we progress along in Proverbs 31:10-31, the conversation is still about the interacting with women, but instead of the limited perspective about how men spend their strength on women or what to avoid, such as the substance that could alter one's perspective, Proverbs 31 goes to describing the attributes of a woman or her noble characteristic traits and behavior and how it is beneficial to all who encounter her. And as I said earlier, I truly believe these attributes and characteristic traits that are being displayed in behavior and attitude can also be for men, but this is about the woman. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence, there's that word, confidence in her, and lacking nothing of value. She brings him good but not harm all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar.
She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portion for her female servants. She even takes care of her own female, her own gender. She considers a field and buys it. She's a businesswoman. She's out of her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She's a farmer. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable. She's wise in how she deals with money, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the staff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She has gifts and talents to create. She opens her arms to the poor. She extends out to her fellow man and extends her hands to the needy. And when it snows, she has no fear for her household, because she's like the five maidens. She's prepared, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for her bed. She clothes them in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate. She makes her husband look good, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. No shame in his game, because he has a wife that knows his name, if you will. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchant with sass. She is clothed with strength and dignity, clothed with strength and dignity, clothed with strength and dignity. Not only is she strong inside, but her what's inside of her comes out of her, and it represents the respect that she would earn. She understands who she is and what she's called to do. She can laugh at the day to come. She enjoys life. She has that unspeakable joy. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She's not speaking foolishness. She's not pride-minded. She's not self-seeking. She's not spitting out anger venom. She has wisdom. She has understanding. She has insight. She watches over the affairs of her household and do not eat the bread of the idleness. She ain't lazy. Her children rise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. It's like when God was talking to Satan about Job. None like him. None like her. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her work bring her praise at the city gate, the same gate that her husband would receive praise, she will receive it too. As I said earlier, now for person, even though this passage is described as a noble woman, as I said, it can be an attribute for men. However, for this two-part series, we'll focus more on the woman. And again, if you want to know more how the man should act, check out my show, FM AM, For Men About Men, on Thursday. I presented these scriptures because I discussed with my boys that, who I mentor, how can we love God and our neighbor when we don't understand how to love ourselves? Thus, how can one know what it's like to be a woman, or even to care on a deeper level beyond the external, when internally, as the quote is said, I am woman, is lacking a deeper understanding about the most important aspect of becoming a woman, and a woman who moves through the love of God. See, this, like with men, this whole thing of understanding God and developing in God and developing the love that God provides us is a developmental process. Well, our Heavenly Father will give our women all the knowledge she needs to love him, herself, and others, as we've seen with the woman of Proverbs 31. Therefore, she would not have these experiences of mental, emotional, physical, and more important, spiritually abused by the prince of the air, who is causing deceptions and lies to persist through the false teaching, the media, the passed down limit of wrong teaching from family, so-called friends, and others. And we all been guilty of that and experienced that. Out of Matthew 6:33, it tells us, but seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added as well. You see, the key word from this scripture is first, because once a woman or a man seeks God in anything, in any area, everything that they need will be given. And as we saw in Proverbs 31, that everything that a woman who is developing the noble character and a solid foundation to stand on through God will be provided with whatever it may be, whether it's in her gifts, her talents, her abilities, the recognition, respect, resources, value, and more importantly, love. Yet the deceiver has done a number on many of our women as well as men who, when looking for love, I like to call it the Hollywood love, in all the wrong places. Therefore, impacting families, relationships, community, and more important, God, self, and others. We're seeing this every day. I'm a man, and I'm not Ray Charles, so I can see. And I see what's out there. And because I'm a man and my own physical nature, my eyes get distracted sometimes. Why? Because the visibility of what I'm seeing today versus just when I was growing up, and again, it was bad then because they had hot pants. Now they walk around with no pants. And because of that, it draws your attention. And if a man, as she was talking about, who the son, if you don't pay attention to God's word, you will pay attention to the world's presentation. And as you pay attention to the world presentation, and for most part, because women are coming more independent, independent. They get to call their shots. And one thing I can say is that if she can't call the shots in the business room, she can call it in our home. And before she walks out of her bedroom, she knows what she's wearing. So if beauty, external beauty, is the thing that you're trying to draw attention to, you're going to get it. But what is the after effect of it? And Jesus said, forgive them, they know not what they do. What is the long-term effect? For you want to be respected. You want to be looked upon as one who has dignity. But if your attire draws an attention that only makes a person focus on your external, you'll miss the mark. And not just by, this world has changed, not just by a man, but by women. Everything is getting distorted. But that's Satan's job. And this is what was supposed to happen, has been predicted by the scriptures. But this is why we have to reel back in what God put in. God didn't put this nature in us to be out of control. He put in us to have self-control. And that's the way we dress, the way we walk, the way we think. So, ladies, if you are displaying the outward behavior and attire that's going to draw the wrong attention, you got to go back to the drawing board. You got to go back to the foundation. Because, again, self-seeking behavior, you're going to get what you're seeking. And I know this because I was out in the streets. And I've dated my share of female. And again, just by my physical nature, it drew me in for the wrong reasons. So it's so important how we look. See, there's some major subcategories we have to consider. The love of God, the love of self, the love of others, love in relationships, single, married, mother, daughter, mother, the son, sibling, community. All this is being affected. And if we don't seek ye first the kingdom first, it will draw you away. And as it draw you away, just like the prodigal son, you're going to get the end result of being in the pigsty, the wrong man, wrong relationship, wrong the poor communication in the family, the poor relationship with your children, the poor relationship with your family, women against women, mothers against daughters. We have to continue to seek God first. So women, it's so important that you do this. And again, not for the appeasing of man, literally man or man in general, but the appeasing or the pleasing for God is going to allow God to invest in you. It's important that you invest in yourself for the future. It's important that you get emotional stability and balance. It's important that you have psychological soundness. Because all this will allow you to do the check and balance. But if you don't do your due diligence, as the scripture would tell you, study to show thyself approved, the right to divide the word of truth. If you don't know the truth, the lie will lead you out without a shadow of a doubt. I can guarantee you that. I know that just for me being a man. So it's so important that we wake up and recognize the significance of having a relationship with God. When women make it a primary objective to seek God first, And again, the key word is first. Everything in your life could be changed. Scripture tells us in Ruth 3:11, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." You are a worthy woman. You have value right out the gate. So God, it kind of blows me away, because if we go by the scriptures, which I do, I've been having a lot of debates with people trying to stray you away from that. But when we go by the scripture, woman was taken from Adam. So that said that you had value right off the top, because God deemed that he would make Adam a helpmate, if you will. However, as we've seen through generation to generation, even though a woman is called a helper, she must recognize the value of that. See, we have to look at the depth of this statement. Sometimes people see helper as a minor role, but let's look at what the scripture tells us and someone else who calls himself a helper. Out of Deuteronomy 33:26, "There is no one like God, the God of Israel. He rides across the heaven to help you, across the sky, his majestic splendor." God is a helper. Psalms 46:1 said, "God is our refuge, our strength, and our ever-present help in trouble." Our Heavenly Father helps us at any given moment, especially when we cannot help ourselves. Thus, the role that many people deem as and pass down as a lowly, insignificant role or minor is not minor. It is major, because you are an image bearer of God. You are God's masterpiece. You see, the scripture tells us in 31:10, "An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewel." Far more precious. To the point that when a woman seeks out God first, the word tells us again that she is someone who is so valued that she's worth more than gold. So it's so important that a woman recognize who she is. Not allow the world to distract her, divert her, and create these lies and illusions that makes her want to create lies and illusions and not really have the depth of who she is. And again, I'm not passing judgment here. We get understanding. I have a daughter. Unfortunately, she doesn't walk. She doesn't talk. She's fed it through a feeding tube. And she's 29 years old. But I've seen her change people's lives, and she ain't talked to anybody. She can't talk. She can make sounds. She doesn't talk like you and I. But people's lives have been changed, and I believe the reason people's lives have been changed, what they have verbally told me, because I sent a lot of pictures out about as it relates to her, that they look at her and they see her spirit. They see the beauty of her spirit. They experience her joy through her smile. They experience her peace. And I've seen many, if you will, special need children who are not at peace, who don't have joy. And their situation would seem that they're a little better off than her externally. But the reality of it is that she has that unspeakable joy. She has all that she needs. And because she has all that she needs, which I believe because of prayer, and there's so many people praying for her, because of prayer, and they're communicating on her behalf, they're interceding for her on her behalf, that she's experiencing something that every woman should experience, that joy, that peace, and not allow external factors to control her internal stability, because she is grounded on the Word of God. See, when women allow God to be all they need, the rewards come in such a precious way. Again, more than gold and silver, for her value is noted as noble and of character. And when this happened, the scripture tells us again, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive. And beauty is fleeting. Let me stop here. Yes, you're going to get the attention if you're fine as wine and you're built like never before, or you this day and age, that's a subjective perspective. But if you can make yourself up to look like Hollywood wants you to look like, and I'm not putting it down, as I heard one pastor say, ain't nothing wrong with putting a little paint on the house. But when the house is only viewed from the inside, when outside is beautiful, but when you go inside, it's a world of destruction. It's demolished. It's unkept. It is out of order. There's no structure, if you will, and no discipline. Then it distracts from the beauty that initially was seen. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her work bring her praise at the city gate. See, the one thing about the woman of Proverbs 31, she was diligent because she knew who she was in God. She knew what her mission was. She knew what her assignment was. She knew her relationship with God. She knew her relationship with her children. She knew her relationship with her husband. She knew her relationship with her community. She knew who she was in it. Not by how they deemed her. She knew who she was first. And because she built her internal structure of being stable and having emotional, psychological, and mental control, she was able to reap the benefits externally that they would praise her at the city gate. Truly, this is the sign of a spiritually mature woman. So as I move into the soldier's perspective, thy daughter, you have value. As I went through some of the thoughts that was presented today, I believe that we as people begin to truly, when we truly seek God's kingdom first and all his righteousness, we can begin to come together in love that God intended for us to have and to show to others. It is important that we strive to work on our personal growth first. During the period in the Army, I used to teach David Ramsey's Financial Peace, and he would often say you should invest in yourself first. This perspective can be viewed from another perspective by Albert Einstein, who says that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be changed from one form to another. I like to say energy is neither lost or destroyed. It's just only transferred. The scripture tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Therefore, we should all strive to be transformed daily to have the mind and heart of Christ. We should be praying that God create us a clean heart and renew the right spirit in us. When we get the right spirit in us, then everything else that's supposed to be appropriate will come out of us. Said in a different way, that when we invest in self-improvement or development, we can transform that self-investment into being guided or allow it to be guided by the Holy Spirit to a higher level of value, which was already established from the moment our Heavenly Father blew his breath and strength, and especially into women, to be his representative as an image bearer who displays the spiritual energy that cannot be destroyed by the cares of life, but only approved upon in order one can receive the abundant life that Christ promised to his daughters. I recommend that you go into the world knowing your value because God loves you as he loved his only begotten son. And never let anyone take away your value, because when God makes a promise, it does not return void. It accomplishes that which has been said. And what is that promise? God is sure that he would never leave you or forsake you. And how does he use it? It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned long ago. And as you can see with the woman of Proverbs 31, she understood this message even more out of Mark 10:35-45. Jesus said that he came as a son of man to give his life as ransom. For even the son of man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. We saw that in Proverbs 31, that she gave her life for many. And it's no easy feat to be able to do that, because the body is always waging war with the spirit. But we have to daily pray. We have to daily try to put our body in subjection. We have to crucify our body. And as women, you move forward, you have to recognize the importance of the gift of having the body, not for it to be abused, misused, neglected, rejected. As I used to tell my son, if someone doesn't like you, don't necessarily mean they reject you. It's just a selection. But God selected you from day one, and God has already selected the right, I'm using this word here, the right man for you. If that is your primary goal in life, is someday to be someone's wife, to be someone's mother, because you can always work in the community without holding those roles. But what an honorable thing to be. An honorable thing to be a wife. You know, I often used to say that being a wife meant that you were the most important person in that individual's life, because out of all the 8.7 billion people in the world, he would select you. But in the meantime, is you have to go back and look. When you're allowing yourself to be the one selected, if you will, because you want to make the decision, ensure that that person values you, that man values you as God would. Ensure that that man recognizes who you are, not by haughtiness, not by deception, but who you are from the inside out. A woman who should be praised, a woman who should be recognized for all you do. I used to always say this, again, that if I'm working on me and someday you need me, I was working on me that one day you would call. I was working on me to be a better me. Not better than you, but a better me. But then when you call and you need me, and it just so happens to be something I developed my abilities, talents, skills up for, then in that moment, you'll become a recipient. That is what the woman of Proverbs 31 did. She developed herself spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, physically, and she developed the strength in all these areas, and she did her check and balance, and the world became a recipient of all her values. Today, moving forward this week, when you look in the mirror and see the value that God said about you. You are his masterpiece. And anyone that follow art know that when they call it a masterpiece, it got some kind of value beyond the norm. Hallelujah. Again, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and this gives you even more value, it is the most important thing that any human being can do. The most important thing that any human being can do. I was in a conversation with someone not too long ago, and they said, you know, it's just a book. A man wrote the book. Why you believe this? And how could you believe something when these people weren't even around? Why would you entertain this? And I said to them, you know, we all have to believe in something. And I asked the question, why do you believe 2 + 2 = 4? Why? Because a man told you. And somebody inspired that man. We know as Christians that God inspired man to do all we see. Seeing people, once they get haughty, they get into their pride, they will try to shoot it down. But I said, I'd rather err on the side that God exists, and he's my heavenly Father, and that he loved me, and that he sent his only begotten Son for me, and he forgives me of my sin, than to err on the side that's not. For like the bridesmaids, 5 was prepared and 5 wasn't. I want to be one that's prepared. I want to have my oil. And having that oil is a part of the salvation. Because the more we get to know God, the more we draw closer to him, the closer he gets to us, we move away from, when most people talk like this, we move away from just knowing of God to knowing God. And when you know God and you read his written word, you begin to recognize the truth in it. You begin to recognize the way you should go. You begin to recognize a new life in him. Old things are passed away and all things become new. So when you recognize that you need God and you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior and confess to the world that he died for your sins, and you believe in your heart this, your life will be transformed. This energy that I talked about is the Holy Spirit, because he said when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive power. And that power, is that dunamis power, is strength, inner strength, to go forward in this life that you're always going to be tested. As I tell people all the time, getting saved is the easy part. Maintaining it in the sense of your walk. Oh, you say, I believe for life, unless you denounce Christ altogether. or blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And I'm not totally sure on that, but I believe those are the things that might hurt you. But God is so forgiving. I don't know. But as long as you continue to accept God as your personal Lord and Savior and continue to relate to him, you only will build in this world. He said you would live a long life because he will show you his salvation. And once he shows you his salvation, you'll be willing to go into the world and declare his works and let the world know that he loves you. So again, accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Let the world know about it. Get into a Bible teaching, a church, or and develop and mature. And ladies, whatever you do, seek ye first God's kingdom, and everything you need will be added. Again, this is from Kingdom Builder Development Institute. If you have any questions or you want to join in on the team, you can email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. You can contact us at the home office at 313-583-9739, 313-583-9739. And you can sew into the ministry at www.giveify.com, which is GIVELIFY.com. All these areas, if you make contact, will be beneficial to you. You know, as I said earlier, everybody's looking for love in all the wrong places. And if you don't know how to love, how can you love someone else? God's word will teach you how to love. And when you begin to love, you develop that patience. And when you develop that patience with yourself and others, it's easy to forgive. And when you forgive, I always like to say, for those that's been harbored or been harboring this unforgiveness, this hurt and pain, once you release it, you'll begin to live. I'm your host, David Patterson. I thank you for coming to the Spirit of a Soldier. Hope to see you next week. And, again, check out my show at FMAM for Men About Men on Thursday at 6 o'clock every other week. And again, I'm going to pray for you. I don't miss a beat praying for every person in this world, born and yet born. I'm going to pray for you, and let's watch the miraculous, beautiful things that God will do to help us be more an image bearer of Christ. You have a wonderful week. God bless.
Because my cup's running over, and I shall not want. And I would lift my eyes to where my help comes from, and I won't